tattoo.
All right, that was Blues Tattoo right here on Vankly Cooley on Vankly FM. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, you said it perfectly. Perfectly, actually.
The heart of the community? The voice of the community?
The voice of the community. And the review is the heart of the community.
Okay, so we still have JF online. We have Janie in the studio and Taylor. And we're going to talk more about the show that's happening on Saturday. Am I right, Taylor? Am I right?
You are.
So let's hear about it. What's happening? What's happening at the Grand Barn?
Okay, well,
we're live on the air right now.
We're going to be shooting a music video on the Saturday. So we've already got everybody we'll need for the actual shoot. But as Janie was saying, I guess we're aiming to do a jam at the end of the shoot and kind of celebratory mood.
Is there going to be any beer there or any alcoholic beverages?
Geez, I wonder. We'll have to look into that.
Okay. Try to hook that up.
There will be food,
and there's going to be some
adult beer. Beverages.
Adult beverages.
Ooh, gotta love it.
That's fantastic. So, whenabouts? Obviously, you can't do all the filming in one day. I'm sure. Like, is this all the filming you're gonna be doing, or you'll be filming in other locations as well?
JF, you want to pick up that answer?
Sure, yes. So the skeleton of the music video is going to be shot Saturday. So the main, I would say, three quarters of it is going to be shot on Saturday. And then afterwards, we'll have another shooting day, probably a little bit closer to downtown Ottawa, or perhaps actually a couple of venues in Van Cleek Hill to basically showcase, not necessarily showcase, but to illustrate the outside of the Grand Barn. So perhaps like a bar or something like that. And a couple of extra scenes as well to illustrate a little bit more the story that we're trying to tell. So like another shooting day afterwards.
Nice. And you said you already have everyone, so I can't show up and with like a suit on or something? And
yes, why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
Eddie gets a special invite.
I want to be in the video now.
Okay.
Is that cool?
That's
JF,
cool.
Is that cool with you?
Be careful.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Be careful. It might be his birthday suit he's talking about.
It's November. Remember.
Yeah.
Is there any other like little tidbits of info you want to give out there, Taylor?
At this point,
everyone's welcome to this party.
Everyone's welcome.
Is it true? Like, I'm not trying to make it.
Well, yeah, sure.
Once it wraps up, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, if you guys don't mind, we'd like to play at least one more tune from your CD here.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for coming in.
You're most welcome.
Yeah.
What,
Taylor, thank you for coming in.
Which one would you like to play?
Oh, what else could we play on there?
I played a little bit from the beginning of the CD, and the last song was playing sort of in the background. So maybe you got like a, I don't know.
What would you like to
hear? What do you feel like, Gilbank? A little happy tune?
Well, you know, I always just say.
Maybe if we read the titles, we'll decide.
Okay, à contretemps. Blues Tendresse. I'll take Blues Tendresse.
Yeah, right. What's that one? Number two?
Yeah.
All right, this is Blues Tendresse.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay. What does that mean?
I'm really impressed.
What does that translate to?
Well, tenderness.
Oh, it's playing
blues.
In the background here. Okay, so is it number, you said it was number three?
Number two.
Oh, number two.
Number three is Les Valises. It's a bitching tune, but you wouldn't get it because it's in French.
All right, so this is Blues Tendresse.
Tendresse.
Le cerveau farci d'opulence et les nerfs à l'urgence. Sous la fumée, on vénère l'air lent. J'ai le blues.
All right, you're listening to Vankley Cooley on Vankleek FM, the voice of the community, where it's Rod Gilbank and Eddie Earwig taking over for Sean Cooley. We're going to start talking about movies again.
Yeah, we're going to get back on that. We got to talk about one of your movies.
Yeah, we'll play a song right now, and maybe it'll give people sort of like the idea of which movie it is. Let's see here. Hey, Gilbank. Hey. We're back. I changed your mic, so you better go back to your original mic.
I'm way over here.
And I'm way back. That was really fast. How's it going, guys? I'm expecting you to answer. Hello, folks.
You said guys.
And ladies.
Hey, ladies.
There's only you and I left now.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're going back to talking about movies. We talked about one of your favorite movies.
One of my favorite movies. That was The Dumb and Dumber, hit of the 90s.
It was one of the hits of the 90s. Now I played a song from Pulp Fiction, which is, I wouldn't say it's my favorite movie, but it's up there.
It's up there.
Have you seen it?
I have seen it. I watched it with you one time. We invited about 20 people over to my house,
yeah,
half of which I didn't seem to know, and we watched it. That was fun.
What, do you remember anything specific from the movie?
I remember it being slightly violent, and the language was very interesting, very colorful language. Mm-hmm. And some very famous quotes were, I think, said on a regular basis still. Ooh.
I got some stuff going in the background.
Nice. I like it.
Okay, so I remember when this movie came out in theater, and I really wanted to go see it, but I wasn't old enough. This was in 1994.
Now, this must have been rated, like, violent.
Something violent. Yeah.
It definitely would be, because, like, let's be honest, there's more than one person that dies in this, and there's one person who dies very gruesomely as well.
Who's the person that dies gruesomely?
Wouldn't it be the guy in the car?
Oh, yes, he gets his head blown off.
His head is completely blown off in the car. We're changing gears here. We're going from nice music to talking about some people with their heads blown off. And it makes a mess of the car. And like, but it's not just like a small thing. In a lot of movies nowadays, it'll be like, whatever, just some guy died in the car. But it's like, no, they had to go about cleaning it, and it was a big deal.
Yeah. This movie really put Quentin Tarantino on the map.
It really did.
Because he came out with Reservoir Dogs before that. But to be honest, like, if you're a movie person, you probably heard of it. But if you're someone like me, or maybe a little bit older than me at the time, you didn't know who Quentin Tarantino was until this movie came out. And it really showed his type of directing, where it jumps from...
It's not a smooth film.
Like, no, it goes all over the place.
It jumps, like, in time, and it jumps in place. Like, it's...
Which is confusing if you're not used to, like... Like, right now, if a movie started doing that, I'd be like, oh, yeah, it's Quentin Tarantino style.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, it'd be like, what's going on? These people are back alive? Like, they died earlier, right? So...
Yeah, so you really... It's one of those movies you got to think. You can't just sit there and kind of, like, doze off and just watch the fun explosions. You kind of, if you want to know what's going on, you got to pay a little bit of attention.
So the movie starts with the scene that ends the movie as well. It, like, you know, it starts with this, it looks like a stick up in a cafe, and then that stops. There's the beginning credits, and then at the very end of the movie, it comes back to this cafe, and people that you have seen die earlier in the movie are back alive, and the plot is crazy. It's a crazy movie. Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. And you're saying, is this one of your favorites of all time?
I mean, I've seen this movie a lot of times.
Do you remember, did you see it first when it first came out?
No, I wanted to see it in the theater,
Did you see it once you were old enough?
No, I saw it on Showcase for the first time.
Showcase.
Yeah, remember that channel?
You were scanning that for...
Is it still a channel?
Yeah, it's still a channel. It must be.
Yeah, I mean, what
else do 13-year-olds watch at 10 p.m.?
I guess so. Yeah, Showcase was good because they didn't play any commercials and they didn't edit any of the violence.
No, that's the beauty of Showcase.
Yeah. So I got some facts about the movie.
Spit some of those out.
You want to hear some facts about the movie? The movie cost $8 million to make, and $5 million of which went to pay the actors' salaries.
Wow. So they only had like a couple mil to get this done.
Can you do the math?
I totally forgot what you said.
$3 million.
I forgot the beginning. I was like, oh, well, this isn't going to work out for my conversation.
Okay, so I have a bunch of theories of what people think were in the briefcase, but we really want to hear this.
What's the briefcase?
Sort of runs the plot.
Yeah, like, so anyone who hasn't seen the film, what's the briefcase?
The briefcase is, we start to know about the briefcase of these two hitmen come back to an apartment because they want to get the briefcase back from a group of people. They take the briefcase, they go to a cafe, actually they kill some people, they go to a cafe and then they don't go to a cafe first. This is confusing.
Can't even talk about the movie because it jumps so much.
You're right.
It's hard to know exactly what the plot is.
They blow someone's head off in the car, have to go clean the car, then they go to a cafe and they almost lose the briefcase because the cafe is being robbed.
Yep.
So there's a lot of theories about what's in the briefcase. And I haven't read the theories, so I have them right here in front of me. I don't know what
this is going to be fresh.
Some I guess this is just internet people assuming. It could be Elvis's gold suit.
Ah, yes. How could it not be?
Well, it could be. And then there's another one that I have read about, actually, that it's Marcellus Wallace's, which is the boss of the hitmen and the husband of Uma Thurman in the movie. It's that it's his soul, and he wants it back. And if you notice, the combination to the briefcase is 666, which is,
you know
the number of the beast.
The number of the beast.
So then Quentin Tarantino apparently said that Marcellus Wallace's neck band-aid had nothing to do with the illusion that the devil was stealing Marcellus's soul from, like, his spine or whatever. So I guess that theory kind of went down. What was originally in the briefcase is that it was just a 20-watt light bulb. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
So it was just to cause trouble.
Well, it's something that Hitchcock sort of phrased, and he calls it the MacGuffin, and all it is a prop that, like, makes the movie keep going. Like,
nice.
It's just a briefcase, right? And it's got, I guess in 1984, it got so convoluted that it's not, it could be just like drugs now or money. And it just, now it doesn't even matter what it is.
Doesn't matter because it's what continues the movie.
Yeah, exactly. All we know is that people want it.
People want it.
It doesn't matter what's in there. You know, it could be diamonds. It's always something different in movies, right? It's like it's usually diamonds or drugs or money.
And the fact that it doesn't get shown the entire movie just leads all those more people, like, drawn to the movie, to like, well, what was it? You think about it after.
Yeah.
You go home from the theater, you're wondering, you're arguing with your girlfriend in the car, what?
You're like, and she's like, it was a golden dildo. And you're like, no, it couldn't
have been. No, it was definitely Elvis's suit.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it be?
So people have lost their girlfriends or their boyfriends because of this movie, because of arguing what's in that briefcase.
Probably. I mean, if the internet has got this much of a kerfuffle about it, you know, at least one relationship is probably gone.
Probably down. One because of
tits up because of that.
Because of the Pulp Fiction, what's in the briefcase?
Exactly. So, what's some other facts you got about this thing?
I got that every time Vincent Vega, who's played by John Travolta, which, by the way, this movie revitalized his career.
Oh yeah.
He was doing some really bad movies before this movie came out. What's he was one in of those? Like he did a Look Who's Talking Now. Remember that movie?
No, I don't.
That's remember the movie, that movie where the babies talk.
Oh, the
and then
stuff.
After that, then another baby was talking for the sequel. And then last was the pets started to talk. Anyways, that was where he was making his money.
Wow. From some kids movies like that.
Well, I guess they weren't. Yeah, I guess they were kind of kids. Anytime he goes. So anytime Vincent Vega goes to the toilet, something bad happens. Okay, so.
Sounds a lot like Cooley's situation.
Yeah, something bad happens in the toilet. But apparently something bad happens every time John Travolta goes to the toilet in this movie. And I remember him going to the toilet when the cafe is being robbed. He's in the toilet. He doesn't know that the cafe is being robbed. So while he's in the toilet pooping, his partner's getting the briefcase stolen from him.
Yeah.
Possibly. The other time he goes to the toilet, Bruce Willis's character goes back to his house to try to get his gold watch back or his old watch. And he just he's probably been staking the place out all day. He goes to take a poop. When he comes out, it's just, he's really unlucky.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis is there.
That part threw me off so bad when that came out. I was like, why is John Wayne here?
John Wayne. John Wayne appeared in the movie. John Travolta, you mean?
No, why is, I was going to go referencing his character from, well, you know what? Forget this.
Do you need a nap, Gilbank? Who are you talking about?
I should use a nap.
He showed up in the because he was supposed to kill Bruce Willis. If you haven't seen the movie, this probably makes no sense to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, it barely made sense to me, and I've seen it twice.
Yeah.
And it's just really.
What do you think of the scene where Uma Thurman overdoses on heroin because she thinks it's cocaine? Isn't that crazy?
Well, obviously, the first time I saw it, I was a little probably too young to really understand what the difference even was.
Mm-hmm.
But the second time, that was pretty good. It was pretty intense.
What do you think about listening to some more music from the movie?
I would like
this
to
this is
hear
the
some
classic.
Too.
I think now, I think this is the movie. This is the song that makes you think of the movie.
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Do you want me to play?
I would like you to play. You tricked me.
What is this? What is this? This? What is this?
This is Van Cleek Cooley with Eddie Earwig.
Gilbank.
Earwig.
You have some more fun facts about the
movie.
I have
some fun facts. This is some really fun facts.
We're talking about Pulp Fiction
right now.
We're
talking about Pulp Fiction.
The 1994, what kind of movie would you think it is?
Head-smashing hit.
Head-smashing action.
Packed.
Drama.
Drama. Confusing.
Confusing.
Quentin Tarantino.
Yes, I guess that would work. Confusing.
So another fun fact of this movie is the F word, which we won't say, mm-hmm. was used. Take a guess at how many times it was used in that movie.
10 times.
10 times? That's not even close. This the F word was used 265 times.
That is ridiculous.
How long is the movie? I mean,
I don't know, 2.5 hours, maybe
2 hours.
2.5 hours,
they managed to put in 265 swear words. Well, specifically the F word into that movie. That's almost like that's a pretty big feat. I don't know if there's a lot of other movies that have been able to pull that off with those sort of
stats. The actors really don't. Maybe they're just adding them in.
They must.
They're just in the character.
And they just know the character. That is every second word they must use.
Yeah. Now I'm bringing up the characters. If you were to pick a character that you could relate to the most, who would it be in this movie?
Would it
be the boxer? Bruce Willis? I think you have an eye for the Bruce Willis in this movie.
I think I would be. If I had to relate to a character, I mean, I love my watch. He was going for his watch, right? Getting his watch back.
Yeah, because his girlfriend forgot it at the old place.
Yeah, and I love my watches. Even though I don't wear them regularly, I could probably relate back to that. You know what? I got to go back, get my watch. How about you? Who would you relate to the most in this movie?
I was going to say Zed, but he turns out to be a really crappy character. I don't know why that came to mind. Zed. He's like the most horrible character in the movie. He's like a...
Maybe you know yourself well.
But you know why I probably said him? Because I like the actor. He's a good actor. I can't remember his name, though. He was also in The Usual Suspects. He's a good actor. Who would I relate to the most? I don't know. There's a lot of crappy characters in this movie. Like crappy, like their lifestyles are just bad. Bad choices. Bad choices. I was going to say like, oh, I want to kind of be like John Travolta, but he's like a heroin addict in this movie. Yeah, like, you don't want to.
What about?
We have another caller.
I love how it actually says anonymous.
This is an anonymous caller?
Anonymous caller.
Hold on, let me get the phones here.
All right. Hello, caller. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm doing good. Caller, who am I speaking with here? Caller, hello. Hello, caller.
It looks like the speakerphone part went away. Where's the speaker button? Oh,
you know what? The speaker button has gone away. Caller, are you there?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We have you back on the air. We almost lost you for a second. Technical difficulties.
We're talking about movies. Who are we speaking to right now?
Movies.
Yeah, we're talking about movies. Obviously, you want to remain anonymous because your caller ID actually says anonymous. That is impressive. Are you familiar with the movie Pulp Fiction?
I do remember it, yes. Very well.
Who is your favorite character in this movie, Pulp Fiction?
John.
John.
Oh, John McClane.
John McClane? I don't think so.
Who's John?
John Travolta.
Oh, John Travolta, yeah. Oh. He's in the movie. He does the dance sequence.
Yeah, and now you relate to that dancing, don't you?
That's right.
Now, is it possible, caller, that I heard you might have been doing some dancing this past weekend yourself?
That's true.
That is true.
Where was this?
Would this have been at the fireman's ball?
Dance.
The fireman's dance.
Oh, it's called the dance now.
It's a dance now. It's far less formal, so it's
we
the dance.
We missed all of you guys there.
Yeah, you know, some of us were busy some stuff.
We did have the award-winning medalist there, Louise Sproul.
Nice.
Oh,
beautiful.
Nice. Louise Sproul. She is a... did you dance with Louise?
Sorry, did we...
Did you dance with Louise?
I did dance with Louise.
Now, did she, like, step on your shoes while you danced?
On fire.
She was on fire. Good job, Louise. We give you full credit to that one. In fact, we'll probably have to dedicate a song to you later. Caller, do you remember any other interesting facts from... the Quentin Tarantino hit, Pulp Fiction.
No, I don't.
Well, you know what? That is a very interesting fact.
I was really just calling in because I understand there was a pickup at the review.
A pickup at the review?
Yeah, I had to call for the pickup there.
Yeah, you can come pick something up.
We found a bag of teeth in the back.
Yeah,
we found a bag of old teeth.
Yeah.
No, no.
It says Dr. Science on it. I'm not sure what it's for, but if you want to come pick those up, you can come pick those up today.
Two cock teeth in a row.
Could you repeat that, caller?
Did Eddie talk about the Leafs winning two games in a row?
No, we didn't bring up any sports yet.
We'll probably talk about that on the sports show after this.
The sports Van Cleek Sports Show.
The ice skates.
That's on the AM dial though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on the AM dial. So look for Van Cleek at Van Cleek AM.
Eddie talked about the
Leafs. Anonymous caller, we want to thank you for calling in and go Leafs go.
Go Leafs go. Keep on dancing.
I always love you talking to you guys.
Yeah.
Keep on dancing.
Well,
my
you
friend.
Can come pick up the bag of teeth and we'll see you soon.
I will be around to do my pickup.
Okay, bye. Anonymous caller calling in for the third time.
It's funny because the first anonymous caller sounded a lot like a woman. They've obviously disguised their voice now to sound like a person who would run a funeral home.
Yeah. Yeah, it did sound like someone that could run a funeral home possibly.
Yeah, it's a very distinct voice. They also have a very distinct laugh. But you know what? Do you have some other music from the film? What was that? Sleeping.
What? I guess you just have to go wake him up now, won't you?
So when I play that song, Gil Bank, what do you think of?
You know what? I think of, you know what? It stirs up terrible.
Dirty. Feeling. It's dirty.
It sounds like a very dirty song. Something like, you know, I don't even want it. Like, I don't want
it's
it.
It's rusty. Like, it sounds like a rusty horn.
Like a rusty trombone.
Is that a trombone?
I'm not sure.
I don't know if that's a trombone.
Well, it could be a rusty one.
It's definitely, there's something rusty about the song.
Yeah, very rusty, thrusty, rusty.
That's the last Pulp Fiction song I'm going to play tonight.
That's, you know what? Good riddance. I don't care about your favorite movies. It's all about my favorite movies.
You know what's strange? I have not said the number to call, but we're getting a lot of callers tonight. We got three callers. That's 300% more than I usually get.
It really is. What is the number to call in? You know,
I'm not going to give the number out tonight. Yeah,
you know what? Tonight because
we've had enough callers.
Yeah.
Like usually, I encourage people to call in. We want to talk to people, but it seems like I'm just getting the same people calling that are at a party, and they might be a little bit intoxicated,
and they probably won't remember anything. So they want us to record it so they can hear themselves later.
But the thing is that it's not that I don't want to talk to them. I do want to talk to them. I'm just jealous that I'm not at the party.
Yeah. They sound like they're having a wicked party.
Yeah. Well, it can't be that good because they're calling us and they're like, hey, what are you guys doing?
What are you guys doing?
I'm going to pick up over there.
Hey, I'm going to go get some teeth.
All right. So let's go back to one of Gil Bank's favorite movies. If I were to ask you what your second favorite movie is, it would be a Jim Carrey movie.
It is still a Jim Carrey movie.
Yeah.
It was one of the movies that I would watch repetitively as a kid, and we didn't even have it. My mom recorded it off of TV.
Yeah, with commercials?
No, she was really good about it. She like stopped.
Really?
Stopped the commercials. She did really good on it. And she was even able to cut out the parts where there was a lady in her underpants.
What? That's then near the end of the movie. Yeah, actually, it's a man in an underpants.
It turns out it's a man in the underpants. But that was not a piece of information I needed to know.
Doesn't that ruin the whole? Because that's the end of the movie.
I had no idea what I was watching at the time.
I guess you were young, huh? That movie came out in what year? That came out in 1994. February 4th, 1994.
Three of our four movies all came out in 1994.
And that are our favorites. So you were 5 years old when this
movie came out. So I obviously didn't get to see it when it first came out. I saw it a few years later once it had been released on VHS and whatnot. Yep. But it's the movie we're talking about is Ace Ventura.
I didn't even realize hadn't said the movie title yet. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Ace Ventura, right? Pet Detective.
So because I remember when this movie came out, I was like possibly either I was starting high school or it was grade 8, like going into high school. And it was just like everybody talked about this movie. This is all we talked about. And there were so many lines from the movie.
Oh, yeah. Like, even I remember as a kid just going, alrighty.
Yeah,
then.
That was good. Then there was like a glove. Like a glove, like that, yeah.
Yeah. There were so many things
There was another one where he stutters or something.
Do I have something in my teeth? And he has like a whole bunch of food.
Oh, he talks from his butt too, right?
He talks from his butt. Because he's talking to his cop buddy and he doesn't want his boss to know he's affiliated with him. And he's like, hello, it's nice to smell you.
So right now, Gilbank is actually bent over, opening his butt cheeks.
To the microphone.
He's perfected. He's perfected.
I'm hoping I could ask you a couple questions.
I think he does it in a part where he asks for a breath mint.
My breath is bad. Do you have a breath mint?
Oh, man. So, no, there's another one. Oh, it goes, really? Really? Yeah, yeah.
There's another part where he solves a crime all in one breath.
Yeah, that's, I remember. Yeah.
There's no way you could possibly do it. Yeah, it just goes on, no problem. It's all really well played.
Okay, so facts about the movie here. Okay, so the budget was, you know what? My phone got cut off here. I only got, never mind. The budget was 15 mil.
Okay. 15 million. I'm sure way more than this.
It made 107,217,396.
That's insane. That's just an awesome. That's fantastic.
The movie, like Warner Brothers or whoever made this movie, like they got to thank Jim Carrey for just being a star in the 90s. Oh, yeah.
You know what?
He raked in so much money.
Yeah. They had, just his whole character, the way he held himself was what really made the character Ace Ventura.
Canadian guy.
Jim Carrey came up from being completely flat broke living in a trailer.
Was on In Living Color. Remember that show?
No, I didn't watch that show.
I watched that show. I remember specific memories of my whole family watching that show. So weird. My whole family watched the show. It's kind of weird. Anyway, so do you have some fun facts?
I do have one fun fact here.
Okay, I want to hear this.
Okay, you know Rick Moranis?
Yes, I do know
Ghostbusters.
Spaceballs.
Spaceballs. All
he's a Canadian guy from SCTV. Yeah.
Actually
turned, what does he have to do with this movie? He's not even in the movie, nothing.
He's not in the movie, but he turned down the role of Ace Ventura before it was offered.
That would be really weird to picture
him. I couldn't picture it. I don't think it would have been as big of a hit. Because, I mean, you got to be such a really eccentric, loud character to play Ace. Like, you got to be really off the wall.
Maybe the script was different when he read it. It was more.
It's very possible. Yeah. I obviously don't know.
Because Rick Moranis' character in Ghostbusters is, I could see a whole movie around that character.
A crazy nerdy guy in that movie, right? And then he gets his body taken over in that movie, Ghostbusters. Oh.
Sorry, I had some music playing in the background.
Some background music. And I was obsessed with his car in the movie because I thought it was the coolest.
That's the one where he looks out the window
because in the beginning of the movie, he gets the window smashed in for stealing a little dog. And he has to drive with his sunglasses on outside the window, which obviously, not telling my parents who are definitely listening here, I definitely had to try that once I was 17 or 18.
So you smashed your windshield.
My windshield. Yeah. And the first thing I did was I rolled down my window.
Yeah.
And I put my arm out the window and I flicked my sunglasses open and put them on and was like a glove. And then I caught a bullet with my teeth.
Oh, someone's shooting at him.
I had to ask them to. Yeah. Well, there's a couple scenes where he's driving outside of the car. His car was in 1972 Monte Carlo.
Yeah. I'm just going to play this in the background.
Are you just going to play this in the background? I love this song.
Yeah, this is a good song. This is in the movie, right?
It is.
This is when he's when all the he this is when he's boning Courtney Cox, right?
Yes. And it was obviously when I was 7, I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. So all the animals are watching
him. He has an array of animals, from peacocks to penguins. It's like any type of reptile.
Monkey. There's a monkey in there, too.
There's a monkey in there. He has his little monkey friend. There's a friend of his. He's just on his shoulder.
Yeah, I remember the monkey going like this for Finkel and Einhorn. Finkel and Einhorn.
Yeah, because it was his sidekick, a monkey. And that monkey was used in many different movies, actually.
Was it the monkey from Friends?
You know what? It's very possible. I'm not sure, though. I'm sure we could look this up.
Okay, so I got another fun fact here.
Yeah.
Did you know that Rick Moranis turned down the role of Ace Ventura? You stole my fun fact. Jim Carrey insisted on his favorite band, Cannibal Corpse, to perform in the movie.
Yeah, they played the song Hammer Smashed Face.
Look, we're reading the same thing. Cannibal Corpse is a crazy band, and I find it really hard to believe that Jim Carrey likes that band even. Let alone it's his favorite band.
Maybe
they are insane. Their lyrics are just crazy. No, I don't think they're Canadian. Some of the most morbid, I remember, this is only coming from one instance where I read the lyrics of Cannibal Corpse, and it was just like, this is
really off the wall.
But you can barely understand what the singer's singing, so.
Which turns out really well for when it comes to putting it into a movie.
Yeah. And the only other fact that I think we already talked about it, how he was in the top movies in the 90s. This is insane.
Yeah. In 94, this is one of the movies, this along with Dumb and Dumber and The Mask.
Mm-hmm.
All of them went straight to number one in one year for him.
That's crazy. I think Adam Sandler was famous around that time too, wasn't he? Was rivaling him? Is that a word?
I don't know. They were probably each other's competition. They based a lot, sorry, not they, but Jim Carrey based a lot of his movements around animals.
Yeah.
And the animal he chose to play Ace Ventura's character as was a bird. So very quick steps and then just fast turns.
Bird.
Yeah, just quick head turns and just very right of the moment, like just spaz and then not move.
But did you watch the sequel, When Nature Calls?
When Nature Calls, that was just as good.
Really? You thought it was just as good?
To me, yes.
Oh my God, I hated it so much.
You hated it so much?
The only part that made me laugh?
Yeah.
You can probably guess it.
Was
when he's exiting the rhino. And it looks like
he's in a rhino, a robotic rhinoceros.
Because he's undercover. He's
spying. And then it breaks down because it's a freaking robotic rhinoceros.
And there's someone like bird watching and they see the rhino or something?
No, it's I know exactly how it is. To the listeners who haven't seen it, he had to crawl out to the buttocks of the thing. And it's been so hot in here, he's removed all of his clothes because it's just so hot in this thing. It's in the desert. And he falls out of the bum.
It's not the desert, it's the jungle or
the
whatever.
The jungle, whatever.
But I remember he doesn't just fall out of the bum. First of all, he sticks his finger out of the butt.
And then he goes head first, too. Yeah. So it's just head first. But, and there's a family that come on like a jungle safari vehicle.
Yeah.
And they're just like, look, mommy, a rhinoceros is giving birth to a baby. And he falls out.
But he acts like as if he's being born, too.
Like he's being born because he's just in so much pain from being in heat. And he's so mad.
I remember that's the only scene. But it almost made up for the entire movie, how much I laughed at that. Yeah. At that scene. But it was such a bad... Like, that one was... Well, compared to the first one, it was just...
They had some fun with... My favorite part was the fact that he had a elephant sit on a fancy car of the big rich guy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I remember he uses the rich guy as, like, a scarf at one point.
Yeah,
he's using him as a Muppet.
He knocks out a guy who's wearing fur, and he puts him around his neck and flaunts him like he has, like, a big fancy scarf on, like he would wear, like, a dead fox, yeah. I guess. And he goes, ha, 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 ha. And he's just walking around, and then he pretends he's a Monopoly guy and says, do not pass go, collect $200.
The first time I watched this movie, it was the first time that I was exposed to the same jokes again.
Yes. Like it was immediately, it was like, all righty then, yeah, like a glove.
It was like, oh, that's probably what I was looking for. I was looking for new stuff. And it was just like, he's doing the same, like he talks out of his butt again, except he's Tarzan when he's talking to him. So it was a spin of like, okay, it's the same jokes, but we're just going to put a tiny spin on them.
Did you know there was a cartoon spinoff of it afterwards?
I did not know that there was.
There was. It went actually on for like 2 seasons, I guess, of a kid's show, whatever you would want to say. And it was okay. But I mean, you can never really compete. It did have the same characters all the way through. And another sequel, a third movie, actually happened.
I think I heard about this. A kid plays.
It's his son. It doesn't have Jim Carrey in it at all. It's his supposed to be his son. And it's a son
did
of
you see
son
this
of Ace. No, I tried to watch it online, and it was so bad, I stopped watching it because it was absolutely, absolutely terrible.
We're going to play a tune from the first movie, which is, like, honestly, it's probably one of my favorite comedies.
Finkel and Einhorn.
Yeah.
Einhorn and Finkel.
It's an awesome movie.
Tone, put that big-ass size 13 on and kick it for the homies.
He's the number one bet, dick. No need for a fireman. When your cat's up a tree, he's the one that you hire, man. Known to bring her back alive if your cat scratch or if your turkey got jive. A little local and conveys her, but still got charm. Brought her back to old McDonald's farm. So hey, diddle, it's late in the park. Chasing more pets than no on his arc. No need for a paint, his numbers get deleted. Ace on the gates and the job is completed. Simple assignment when I start rhyming. Always tell the truth so you know I'm not lying. Down with the ladies as a lover, undercover. Yo, tell him where he's at, my brother.
Yo, Ace in the house. Yo, Ace in the house.
Yo, tell him where Ace is at.
Yo, Ace in the house.
I don't believe he hurt you.
Yo, Ace in the house.
Is he all up in the air?
Yo, Ace in the house. Yo, Ace in the house. Yo, Ace in the house.
In the house, so must be low, blowing up like a cloud of smoke. Checking all of his bitches at home, but I'm the dog with the biggest bone. I grip the mic like flyers, no one flyer. Yo, Ace is for hire. A floor room showpiece, solvable crime to the hot damn police. Trying to do it legal, looking for a dolphin beating on an eagle. Nothing ever planned. Remember, Ace got the face of a helpful detective, man. Crazy like Harpo, busted out windows in his Monte Carlo. Loud clothes, black boots, Dutch style hair, no time for a suit. But I don't give a damn if he's way out. Yo, tell him who's in the house.
Yo, Ace in the house.
I don't believe they heard ya.
Yo, Ace in the house.
Yo, tell him one more time.
Yo, Ace in the house.
Tell him who's in the house. I don't believe they heard you.
Yo, Ace in the house.
Is he running things?
Yo, Ace in the house.
Is he doing things?
Yo, Ace in the house.
I need to know.
Yo, Ace in the house.
Don't worry, ma'am. Ace will find your pussy. Cat, that is.
You know, Ace, I was checking you out and everything, and I have to admit, you are the best pet detective there is. Although, you are the only pet detective there is, you're still number one. I got to go, my zebra's double parked outside. Peace to the West Side Tribe. Tell him who's in the house.
there you have it. The theme song, I guess. They talk about
Ace stuff. Being in the house.
Yeah. That's Tone Loc. Do you know any other songs by Tone Loc?
I do not.
Really?
I don't.
You don't know the Funky Call Medina?
Not off the top of my head.
That's classic.
I am a blank sheet of paper when it comes to that.
He's the other guy in the movie, the cop, the black cop.
Yeah.
But he's also a rapper.
That I had famous. No idea. Totally just blew my mind.
If you heard the Funky Call Medina, you would probably...
Maybe I've heard it before, which is a lot of music to me that I've heard before, and I have no idea who it is. But
I would sing it to you, but I can never get as low as Tone Loc because he's got a really low voice.
Got a really low voice.
Yeah, but it's like scratchy too. Try to put some scratch.
He's got a really low
That's too much voice. Scratch. Oh. That sounds like a gremlin.
Oh, he's got a real... I don't know. I can't throw scratch in there.
Funky Call Medina. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. This is why we're not paid.
I was going to play some vinyl today, but I don't know.
You know what? Leave it till next week.
Leave it till next week?
Yeah.
You know what?
I think we got
Taylor one. Used up a lot of the time here, which was fine because I really liked the talking to Janie. She was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But Taylor, just when he started talking, it was like, come on, Taylor, wrap it up.
I think he had said all of three sentences. He was nervous around you.
Why is he so nervous?
You know, you're very intimidating. It's weird that you took your shirt off when he came in, too.
That's how I usually am when I'm around Taylor.
It's an intimidation factor. I understand that, but it wasn't necessary. Mm-hmm. So, you got some tunes playing here, guys.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the next movie.
There's one more movie, and I know what it is. It is,
what is
not
it?
Just one of your favorite movies. It's probably
this is because my of favorite
you,
movie.
It has become very high on my favorite list.
Really? You like it?
I do like the movie. I mean, we've watched it, four times now?
Yeah, I probably have watched this movie 100 times.
Yeah, you've seen it a lot.
Because every time I watch it, it's just something new that I notice.
Yeah, because it's extremely detailed. It is a cult film.
Yeah. It's called The Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski.
And I remember when this movie was in theater, and it did not appeal to me whatsoever.
And I think that was a lot of people. Did it do well in the...
It was a flop.
A huge flop, wasn't it?
A huge, huge flop. Apparently, my fiance Jackie says she saw it in theater, which I don't believe. I remember that it was in theater, and I had the chance to see it, but I was like, I'm not going to see this movie. No. It doesn't appeal to me. It looks like just like a random...
Did you know Jeff Bridges at all at that point? Like,
I don't know. I don't think... I knew John Goodman from Roseanne.
Yeah. I think everybody knew him from Roseanne.
But I think the movie did poorly in theater. Actually, you know, it might have not done that bad. But I think it was considered a flop for... Let's see. I got the numbers here of how much money it made.
But what must be interesting is how much money it made... far after that, because it ended, as we said, it became a cult film.
Yeah, it didn't flop.
No, it didn't flop.
It didn't flop, but it didn't do well.
Didn't do well.
It only made under 50 mil, but it was 15 million to make.
So, I mean, that's not a huge success, but at least they're making money on this. They're making some bank.
I got a text from Jackie telling me that she did see it in theater. So that's been verified. She did see that.
She did see it in theater. Huh? Thanks for listening, Jackie.
Yeah, so okay, so let's talk about the movie. Do you remember anything about what the movie's about?
Okay, so it's not really there's not really some main topics in there, but
there's
it's
not
essentially
really
this
a
guy.
Plot. It's kind of weird.
It's kind of like, hey, let's kind of take note of what happens to this poor guy.
Yeah.
The dude.
His name's Jeffrey Lebowski, but you gotta call him the dude.
Yeah, that's how he introduces himself to people. And
he's a slacker.
He's unemployed. He doesn't care. He's just very easygoing.
Just like wears a robe for most of the movie.
He does. He's an avid bowler.
He's stoned a lot.
He does. His favorite drink is White Russians.
Here's a fact about the movie. White Russians is his favorite movie, or his favorite drink. This is a fact about the movie. He doesn't bowl.
At all.
There's no scene of him bowling in the entire movie.
So, isn't that weird? I guess he's not a golfer.
He's not a golfer. There's no scene of him golfing, I don't think, either.
There is not. Okay, that's pretty interesting. So, I mean, through the movie, I mean, what happens is he kind of gets mistaken for a different person named Lebowski.
Yeah, there is another Jeffrey Lebowski, which is pretty much the exact opposite of him.
He's a very rich man.
He's a rich guy, yeah.
Big entrepreneur. He gets into many different things.
He's in a wheelchair.
Yes, he is in a wheelchair. I forgot about this.
Yeah.
His beautiful wife, doesn't he have?
He has Tara Reid, when she didn't ruin her face and body with plastic surgery. Back in 1998. And so she was like, I think they might have even been around the time of American Pie, which she looked pretty good in that
movie. Yeah, she looked fantastic in that movie. And what happens is, since he gets mistaken for him, a lot of bad things start happening.
Well, he, yeah. So someone pees on his rug because they think that they're at the Big Lebowski's house. Yes, meanwhile, he's just the dude.
And they're trying to send a message to this guy for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And they ruin the rug. And it's known in the movie for a rug. He's like, yeah, that poor rug. It really tied the room together.
Tied the room together, yeah.
Yeah, that rug. Really tied the, your mouse pad, actually.
That's not mine, oh, but it's very similar.
There's a mouse pad in here that is a rug. And I believe you have one because of this movie.
Do you want to talk more about the movie after a song?
Yeah, let's play some tunes.
Let's do it.
Myself, I might not take it anymore. Take a woman like your kind to find the man in me. But oh, what a wonderful feeling just to know that you are. My heart a reeling from my toes up to my ears. The man in me will hide sometimes to keep from being seen, but that's just because he doesn't want to turn into some machine. Take a woman like you to get through.
Calm down.
We're back to Van Cleek Cooley. Without Mr. Cooley himself, it's me and Rod Gilbank. My name's Eddie Earwig, taking over this week. Cooley said he was going to call in. Maybe he was one of the anonymous callers.
He could have called, but we did hang up on one person while we were going through an interview.
I think we were done with that person.
Yeah, so we don't know if that was the same person. It could have been Cooley. I did not see the caller ID. But you know what? Chances are very low.
Very low that it was Cooley.
Yeah.
So we're talking about The Big Lebowski, one of my favorite, well, actually, it is my favorite movie. And you wanted to bring up a party that you went to.
We went to a friend's party that was hosted at their house, and it was actually a themed party. And
yeah.
The theme was to come as a character from The Big Lebowski.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of funny because some of the people didn't even really know what that movie was. So a lot of them had to watch it prior to even going to this party to pick a character. Just having no idea who they were going to be. I ended up going as the dude, the main character from a dream sequence.
Yeah, so you were the plumber?
I was the plumber version
of... No, the cable. You were the cable.
Sorry, I was the cable guy. Das Cables. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm here to fix those cables.
Yeah.
And yeah. And you, what did you come as?
I came as a giant audio tape of Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Which was such a small part in the movie. Yeah.
But he gets his Creedence tapes. Does he get? No, they don't get. They didn't steal the Creedence tapes when they robbed his car.
So I'm not sure. I don't remember.
He had some Creedence CCR tapes in the car, and they didn't steal them.
It was such a small part. There was some other good costumes.
Yeah, there was some good ones.
One like, and this was obscure stuff. Like one was like a notepad that was used where it was like a little doodle, an inappropriate doodle was on it.
Yeah.
From a weird
Treehorn's house. Jackie Treehorn's house.
There's another part of the dream sequence that there's like a person who just runs with scissors at you.
Yeah, yeah. That was Tina. She came as the nihilist with the scissors.
Yeah, that's what it was. There and a couple
Kevin
people.
Showed up as Saddam Hussein with his bowling shirt on.
Because in the dream sequence, there's Saddam Hussein right there handing the dude his bowling shoes. This is a movie that I'm telling you, if you haven't seen it, you really got to see it because it's just, you wouldn't want to like if you first hear about it the way we're talking about it, you're kind of like, this doesn't make any sense.
This is a weird movie.
But you know what? You could probably watch it online for free and probably rent it for maybe a dollar anywhere. And
the thing about this movie is the first time you see it, you're going to be like, what was that about?
And then
if you watch it again, though, you're going to be like, yeah, I picked up some stuff I didn't really understand. And then the more you watch it, the more you like it. Because I just watched it like again, like, I don't know. What's going on out there?
It's some lightning. It's actually someone taking our picture.
Oh, it's Jean Sarazan's coming back.
The paparazzi.
Yeah.
But
I watched it recently, and there was another thing that I didn't notice. It's incredible.
No way. And you've watched it a ton of times, but it's one of those movies where it was very deep, and when they filmed it, they put a lot of thought into every scene.
Yeah. What's happening?
Ghost.
Do you hear this? This sounds like a ghost. Jean's back.
Jean.
How was it? How was the party?
Excellent.
Excellent. They had a good party.
I guess that means we got to wrap it up.
That means we are wrapping up today. Today's Vankly Cooley version of movie trivia.
Yeah, we had some movie trivia. We talked to Taylor.
Yeah, we talked to Taylor a lot. And
we had some anonymous callers.
We did have some anonymous.
Janie came in and talked about her music career.
Yeah, a very amazing career that she has going on. Another Vankly Kill person, really hitting the big time.
Yeah.
That's something to be proud of in the community here.
Making Vankly Kill a place to be.
Yeah, not just putting it on the map, but maybe putting it in bold and underlining it.
Correct. All right, let's end it off with a tune. You listen to Vankly Cooley with Rod Gilbank and Eddie Earwig.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And we'll see you next week with, actually, Sean Cooley might be here next week.
Sean Lewis Cooley.
Is that his middle name?
No, it's not, but I like to pretend.
Whatever.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in. See what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I pushed my soul in a deep dark hole and then I followed it in. I watched myself crawling out as I was crawling in. I got up so tight I couldn't unwind. I saw so much I broke my mind. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
unpainted April Fool, and fit black letters on a dead end sign. I had my foot on the gas as I left the road and blew out my mind. 8 miles out of Memphis and I got no spare. 8 miles straight up downtown somewhere. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. I said I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. Yeah!